Matthew chapter number 28 tonight. Again, we appreciate the pastor for opening us up to be here. Exciting privilege to share what the Lord's doing. Boy, I hope I don't talk too fast for you. I try to go fast because, I know I'm not going to get a lot of stuff to you. All right. Matthew 28. Verse number 16, it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we pray that you'd help our thoughts to be coherent. God, help us to preach with power. God, give us unction from on high. Help our thoughts to be to make sense, Lord. And we pray that you would accomplish that which we cannot. And God, let's take the word of God and reach the hearts of your people. Lord, reach the hearts of those that are here. Lord, you know the different needs. And Lord, we're asking you to do that which we cannot do. Lord, help us now. God, we pray and that you'll receive all the honor and the glory for all that's said and done. God, we thank you for being saved. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to serve you. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to preach to you here just a little bit out of Matthew chapter number 28. And I know that most of us know these verses. We can quote them forwards, backwards, all those things. But we made a statement there in our video that God allowed us to have the mechanic trade. That's what we learned, or that's what we did for a living. That's what we got paid for. And we were in South Dakota. We were in the middle of farm country, and most of the farmers there, they understood the importance or they understood the mechanical concepts of having mechanical timing, ignition timing. They could understand, explain many, many things about an engine. But listen, I made a living because most people would not master the basics, and the basics of an engine is simple maintenance. Listen, if you do not take care of it, you can understand a lot of different things, but if you do not master and implement the basics into your life, you know, it begin to challenge the question of what good is the rest of it, of what you know. And listen, I know these are it's a very basic truth. It is our Lord's last and great command that was given to us, his people. Listen, I think of many different things. We tag these verses as the Great Commission. If you was to grab a concordance and you was to look up the words Great Commission, you will not find them in the Bible. But what you do find is the concept and the teaching clearly taught to us. It is the Great Commission. Now listen, we think of the word great, and you know, again, I begin to ponder this thought here and think about great. Why would we tag it as great? Why do we call it as such? The word commission carries with it the idea of an instruction or a command given to a person or a group of people ascending forth. And this was our Lord's last and great command. Could we say it's great maybe because it's mentioned 4 or 5 times? We could probably argue that. I wouldn't have no problem with that. But what could we tag it as great because of the responsibility and the role that it plays in our hearts and lives in reaching the world with the good news that Christ still saves? I think of a few things. Number one, I think of the role or the responsibility or the task at hand. If you would go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll see a verse of Scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It's great in its role. We have been entrusted with the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God could have commanded angels. But he chose to choose you and I who have been saved by the grace of God, who have experienced its message, have seen it displayed in our hearts and life. Now, I don't know the why behind it all. I just know it's a command that's given. But it says this, look at verse number 18, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now watch what it says. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Not the miracle, the ministry of. God does the saving. He's entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. We're to do our part. God promises to do his part, the drawing of men. They, of course, have left with the responsibility of whether or not they'll accept or reject the message. Our job is simply to give it out. To wit, that God, the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, what is it? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, the Great Commission is great in its role. God has entrusted you and I with the message. Now, to think about that for a second, to put your mind around that for a second, again, I know these are simple thoughts, but think about all the nuts and bolts of the simplicity of it for a minute. The Bible teaches us very plainly, Romans chapter number 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But do you realize there's a verse 14 and there's a verse 15 that follows, there is no calling unless there's a clear presentation of the gospel. How shall they call upon him and whom they not heard? And how shall they call upon him whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It tells us that very plainly, that someone must carry the message of the good news of salvation to them if they're ever going to hear. It's great in its role. We've been entrusted with the message to make sure it's clear, not mixed signals. It's clear, it's complete, and it's all about Christ Jesus. We think about the message for a second. We think about its delivery. It's important in its role. I think about another one. We see this truth. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 for a second. We see Paul understanding it's great in its role. It's great in its responsibility. Paul said this, the message delivered by the preaching of the word, that's what we're to do, that's what we're all about. While there's many good things that we would tag as missions, the Bible's perspective of missions and the Great Commission is carrying forth the good news of salvation by the preaching of the word of God. Not hospital, not all those things. Now those things are good and we can use them, don't get me wrong, but we see over and over mission endeavors is the preaching of the word of God. It's delivered by the preaching, it's delivered by the proclaiming of our witness, but it's done by the demonstration of the power of God by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and it says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Why was that? Because he understood it's important of what he's been entrusted with and what he's handling. "And my speech and my preaching not was with enticing words." Listen, there's a lot of gifted orators out there. And Paul says this, that I was very, very careful. Watch what he says. "Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power." And the key to it is verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Great in its message, great in its role. It's a great commission. And I don't know that I can portray all these thoughts to you that I can sense and feel from these verses, but I challenge you to look through the Gospels. There is not a cookie-cutter formula of how we witness, how we preach, none of those things. Yes, it's neat to be able to go down the Romans road, all those things. But many times you find when Christ was dealing with sinners and all those things, he didn't always do it the same way. Sometimes he had a different approach. Sometimes he used different verses. And listen, we preached for almost 20 years, but it is the Great Commission because of its role. It's not always the easiest thing to do, to be able to preach with sincerity, preach with clarity, and preach as God would want us to preach. But that's what we've been entrusted with. You can see the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God and the importance of Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, of everywhere you go as a witness. But it's great in its role. But there's another one there that we kind of shot ahead of ourselves there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible says that it's been committed unto us. The word committed. That word carries with it the idea of an entrustment. And do you understand that with entrustment, what we have been laid into our hands, what has been laid into our lap, with that responsibility means accountability. It's an interesting word. You can go through the New Testament and follow the words committed, committal, all those things, and you'll find it over and over, Paul mentioning that we have been entrusted, we have been committed with the message, but the reality of it all is that someday we will be held in judgment of how we handled it, what we did with it, and how far we spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. I want to preach on to you just that little bit there of why missions. Again, these are simple thoughts, but why missions? Why Greenland? Why missions? Why all these things? Why go ye? I want you to think of one. Again, these are very simple thoughts. First one is pretty self-explanatory, but because of Christ Jesus himself. Do you realize that without Christ, there is no missions message? There is no real reason. There is no other message than the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not the ways, but the way. Jesus Christ is missions in and of itself. I think about Christ. Missions is all about explaining Christ, what he did. He shed his blood. He gave himself a ransom for all, that all may be forgiven of their sin. And the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21, for he, talking about God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Missions is all about him, explaining him. Missions is all about exalting him. I think of Colossians chapter number 1. It tells us that he might have the preeminence. That's what it's all about, is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in his rightful place. That's what missions is all about. I think of John 12, verse number 32. It says this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now notice what he said there. I notice the verse that says, and I. Now, it's not talking about me, I. It's talking about Christ Jesus. I'm not lifting up myself. And it might surprise you, but I'm not lifting up the Baptist denomination. The Baptist can't save. Only Christ Jesus can save. The Bible is very clear that all we have to do is simply lift him up and God will do the rest. He has done the rest. He has done it all by providing salvation. There is no more to be done but simply lift up what he has done and allow God to do the work on the hearts of those that hear the message. Christ exalted. Christ, our example in missions. I think of his servitude. John 20, 21, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He is our example of his sacrifice. I think of 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ, our example, missions is all about him. Even the gospel message is a mission story in and of itself. How that God came here to this earth and took upon himself flesh. He came to a people that would not receive him, that will ultimately probably reject him. He knew all those things, but he was willing to go to them, to help them, to give them the message of salvation. He is all about Christ. Not only because of Christ, why missions? And again, we're trying to go fast and try to go through some of these thoughts here, but I want to try to get you to a certain place here. Not because of Christ, but because of the command. At least four times, again, we could argue this command of go. Now listen, go is not a complicated word. And we could pull out concordance, we could pull out dictionaries, we can do the word tango, we can do the word shuffle, we can do all kinds of things to dance the command if we want to. But listen, this command, the simple word of go, I venture to say everybody in this room understands it very well. You say, how do I know that? Well, I venture if we went out here to the stoplight and I was car number one, you were car two, car three, and so forth, the light turns green and I chose to just sit there, you would give me a firm that you understand the word go with the simple pushing down upon your horn and say, he needs to go. Go carries with it the idea of a progressing forward. Now listen, can I ask you something? This command, if I understand the words right of go, ye is plural. It's amazing our rules of interpretation in the command. We tend to really analyze, right? To really chew the cud, to really dig into the scriptures, all these things. But when it comes to a promise, we'll let the word of God say what it says. We'll let it mean what it says. And we'll look at ye and say, oh, and embrace it dearly. But when it comes to a command, boy, the ye, let's see who it's talking about here. Can I tell you the go ye means us all? Go ye. Simple command. Progressing forward. Listen, you either know or you know whether or not you're progressing forward or you're just sitting still. And I can't answer that. Only you can. This is not an option. It's not if you want to go, but to go we must. This is clearly stated. I mean, it's very simple. Clearly stated, not to be second guessed. It's not an opinion. It's our church's last great command that's not to be omitted. To be taken literally, and not to switch the rules of interpretation. Hermeneutics 101, we know that. We start switching rules, then it's a problem with how we're rightly dividing the Word of God. It isn't consistent, it isn't fair, it isn't right to the Bible. But let it say what it says, and let it mean what it says, and ask yourself, are you going right where you are with where God placed you and with what you're doing and what He's given? Because of the command. Not only because of Christ, because of the command, but because of the calling that's upon our life. We believe God's called us forth to the country of Greenland. I did not have a Damascus road, and I don't know that I can fully explain the calling of God upon our life. I try to do my best, but it's a beckoning forth of God's Spirit, a prompting by His Spirit through His Word. a yearning, a deep, consuming, burning desire that we must fulfill. It amazes me. We get up and, we've been in a ton of churches. We're placed. People want to hear about the call. That's where the focus is all about. And I understand the why behind it. I challenge you to go through the scriptures and look call, calling, all those words up. You'll find it in three places. You'll see there's a call in salvation. God calls a man, draws him to a place of salvation, repentance, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you know that. You've experienced that. You understand that. Let me ask you, explain that. Very hard to do, but you know it. There is a call in salvation. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. There is a call of salvation. There is a call in service. We see that in scriptures as well. Acts chapter number 13, verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. There is a special calling in service, no doubt. But what you find in the book of Acts there in chapter number 13 is something that's very, very interesting, which leads me to the next calling you'll find in scriptures, and that calling is a call of surrender, a call of obedience. If we have established that Matthew chapter number 28 is a command, then we are all called upon to obey the commands of Scripture. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Acts chapter number 13, what you find there is the entire church was praying. The entire church got serious and began to fast. And you'll find in the context of what's going on there in Acts chapter number 13, I believe they were trying to find, Lord, we know that you've commanded us to go ye into all the world. We're to carry the gospel. God, how can we do this? How can we accomplish this? And when they got that serious, I believe we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 9. He said, go and tell. God calls forth from the church two missionaries. Now the entire church could not go. Two missionaries go forth, but the entire church did not separate themselves from those missionaries. They were involved with their praying, with their giving. You see, they were all on the same page in Matthew chapter number 28. I read that verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9. The Bible says that God saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now watch what it says, but according to his own purpose. You see, God has a purpose for every one of us. And I venture to say, I believe we could prove it quite simply, that the purpose is fulfillment of Matthew chapter number 28. Some way, shape, or form. So that means I'm going to be a preacher? That means I'm going to be a missionary? No. That doesn't say, I'm not saying that at all. There is a special calling in service. But there is a call to obedience, that they're all on the same page fulfilling the Great Commission. See, if you tell me that you're doing God's purpose for your life and there is no involvement with Matthew chapter 28 at all, I would challenge that. Are you fulfilling the purpose of God? God's purpose, God's heartbeat, is to reach the world for whom he died for because of the calling. You see, the question isn't vocation for any of us. The question's location. The question isn't what to do, but to whom shall we go? God wants us all to be a part of Matthew chapter number 28. Where you are, your family, your friends, I want you to think about it for a second. I will probably never, maybe even the pastor, will probably never see some of the people that God has placed you around. See, your involvement and your role, it has to be from you yourself. But God's allowed us to go to the country of Greenland. We'll have people that you will never reach, you see? It's the only way that this thing could work. All of us pulling our part and doing our load. I want you to see one more. Because of the calling, but because we care, there's the Great Commission. You see, because we care, if we keep all these thoughts in mind of what we're trying to say, because we care, we're going to have compassion. I think of Jude chapter number 22. The Bible says this, and some have compassion making a difference. And if some have compassion making a difference, I always want to misquote that, and then it makes get people scared. They're using the wrong Bible, not using the wrong Bible. And if some have compassion making a difference, I always want to say some having. It's not that. Some have compassion making a difference. You see, if we care, we're going to have compassion. I want you to see this. I heard a verse, an older preacher say this, and I believe it. But if you would, go with me. And as we're going there, I want to try to use this verse here. But go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 10. Because we care, we're going to have compassion. You're real familiar with the verse, 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. It says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward." Now listen to what it says: "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, in order for that verse to be true, and we believe it is, God's word is perfect, it's true, it will never contradict. In order for that verse to be true, then that means God must have a witness to every person, or at least wants a witness to every person that's alive. God wants every man to be saved. And the only way a man can be saved is to have heard the gospel message. So for that verse to be true, that means in my mind that God expects a witness, or at least wants a witness, for every person that's currently alive. Now I believe that Matthew chapter number 28 can be fulfilled if every person does his or her part. I believe that. I don't believe God would ask us of something that we cannot do apart from his help. We can accomplish it with his help. We can. But man, I mean, really grab a hold of that. A gospel witness to every person alive. Why is it that we're failing? Over half the world has never heard. God has opened the door in the Greenland 2007. 10 years the door has been open with one Baptist missionary in the entire country. We're not talking ecumenical, we're not talking about any of that, but one gospel preaching witness. Now again, are we mastering, go back to what we stated earlier, are we mastering basics? You know, we can expound the tenth toe of Daniel. We can do a lot of fun things with the scriptures, but listen, the basics. Mechanicking, I'm telling you, you go ahead and figure all the ins and outs and tell me what you know about MS-CAN, HiS-CAN, and how all those things network together and the car runs, that's good. Unless you don't change your oil and do the most basics, I'll see you in the shop. See what we're saying? I think Christians better go back to basics and master them. And we do not master them until there's a witness in the entire world. Go with me, though. Because we care, we have compassion. Luke chapter number 10. Pastor, what time do you shut down? Okay, all right. Man, I get a little nervous up here. I'm like, oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Luke 10. I want you to see this here. Now, I know context here. He's dealing with a lawyer trying to argue a basic command. Ironic, right? Verse 30. Watch verse 30 here. Now, that's application or interpretation, but application, we're going to try to show you type here. I believe we could see it. Verse 30, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now this is a picture and type of sin. That's where every man is outside the grace of God. It's where every man is that chooses to live a life outside the principles of God's word. We could play with that a whole lot of different ways. We can see typology here. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now watch the characters here. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." Now watch what it says. "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And because of his compassion," 34, "he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now the 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And boy, the utterance come from his tongue, couldn't even hardly submit it with Samaritan that did this. He said, he that showed mercy unto him, then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. You see, there was 3 figures here, and only one had compassion. I believe there's typology here. I believe the typology here is us fulfilling the Great Commission wherever we are, with whatever we have, with whatever opportunity God allows us to do. The difference, there were 4 characters, 3 passed by, they all saw the need, but the one that had compassion is the only one that made the difference. And you say, "Preacher, what's that have to do with all of us in fulfilling the Great Commission?" Well, this is on an individual scale. Notice the Bible says in verse 31, it was by chance. This was not planned, this was not orchestrated, but what I believe is this man was sensitive to the Spirit of God who lived within, saw the need with the opportunity that God gave him, not planned, not orchestrated, none of those things, but took full advantage of it with a little he had and made a difference. You see, I believe this, the greatest picture of compassion, the greatest illustration that we'll ever see this side of eternity is Christ himself and giving of himself to you and me. That is the greatest picture of compassion. Now, we have known that. We have accepted that, right? So, the Bible teaches us if we're saved, the Spirit of God indwells the believer. That's very, very clear. Ephesians chapter number 1, 13, 14 there is very, very clear. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We can go through the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, John 14, John 16, 1 John 2. You guys know these verses. Yeah, I'm sure you know them. The Spirit of God indwells in you. So, the capacity for compassion indwells every believer. The other two saw the man, but because of their schedule, they had come from church. I mean, all kinds of things we could play with and preach this out. We could say a lot of things here. But the one that saw and made the difference is when he allowed God to see through his eyes, if I could say it that way, allowed God to use him, channel the compassion that he knows upon this man. Now keep that in mind. Go with me, if you would, 1 John chapter number 3. Compassion is within every believer. I believe that. Now watch here. This is interesting. 1 John chapter number 3, verse 16, verse 17. Now I know it's talking about the brethren here, but I think you can see it in the verse, what we're trying to say. And I don't believe we're doing damage. It says this, verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Watch 17. "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion." Do you see that? "Shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him?" You see, just as you can go up to a spigot and you can turn on hot water, many of us are like the other two in the story who, because of our busy life, our busy schedule, unwilling to walk in the Spirit of God, choose to refuse, if I could say it that way, lack of wording, choose to obey the Great Commission by the opportunities that God put before us, not planned, not orchestrated, but just being sensitive as we go about everyday life, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him. The way that we'll reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill Matthew chapter number 28 is you as an individual must do your part in your community, with your family, your coworkers. I cannot go there. But you must. I want you to see one more. Not only because we care, we're going to have compassion here. Individually, we each one doing his part. But I want you to see one more. Go to Mark chapter 2 for a second. Because we care, we'll have compassion. But because we care, we're going to have a concern. Mark chapter 2. Collectively is how we will reach the world. Not only individually, but collectively. This is a wonderful story. Look at verse number 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Christ our example. Preaching the word. Wonder what his message was like. Was it alliterated? 3 points? Illustration for each one? 30 minutes? Hour? 10 minutes? How would we have loved to hear Christ expound the scriptures? We know the message would have been perfect. It would have been right. But do you realize, sitting under the preaching of Christ, many times he called their thoughts, dealt with them from the pulpit. There was no place to hide. Don't know if I could have tolerated it. Most couldn't. Preach the word. "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was laid." 5. "When Jesus saw their faith," there's two kinds of faith here. We can see it, serving faith, saving faith. "He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This man had to have his own faith. There's no way he's relying upon another man's faith to be saved. We know that. So these men have faith. You know what faith is? It's simply taking the commands and promises of Scripture. You see it, and then you ask the Lord to help you to apply it. That's faith. You see it. Blind faith is when you live by something that you can't find in here. God's not asking that of us. Simply take What you see, what you know, apply it. Well, I do know Matthew chapter number 28, the real simple command to go, right? We know that. So could it be these men understood some simple, basic things, and they understood that God loves man so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Christ. Christ was here helping people, touching them, saving them. So they had this thought, you know what? Christ is helping people. We hear that He's in the house of God. We have a friend who is bedstricken. He's paralyzed. There's no way this man can get up in his own power and his own strength and go and get help. So you know what? We'll go because of the commands, because of the promises. We'll go. The seed of thought was there, and I believe Christ saw their faith at that moment. And so they go and they gather Him up. I want you to think about two things with this palsied man. Number one is his condition. He's paralyzed. There's absolutely no way he can go. They go to gather him up. Now, this is an interesting story. They come to the house of God. They're excited. The sinner's coming to the house of God. Man, the Lord's going to do something today. What excitement. They come all the way to the house of God, and the doors are closed because of all the people that are within, possibly refusing to spread and make Christ available. That can preach several different ways. Most of us are very Calvinistic. While we're not in our doctrine, we believe in a whosoever gospel. Many of us are Calvinistic in our practice and saying, oh, it must not be God's will this man be helped and walk away from it. Leave him at the door. This man is not going to get help unless he goes all the way to where Christ was. Now listen, I don't know. The door can represent a lot of things. It could be physical. It could be financial. It could be a lot of things of why we do not make Christ available. It represent a lot of things. Not only because of the man's condition, but because of the circumstance, there is impossibility this man is going to be helped. So these men still had faith. They were unwilling to let go of the promise, unwilling to let go of the command, and faith does just that. It's willing to override all the obstacles of normality, go beyond the lines of the normality, the number, all those things, and said, you know what? I see a possibility. I see the roof. They began to go up on top of the roof, uncover the boards, and let down the man for Christ to heal him. Now, my question, where did Christ see their faith? Was it right when the boards were uncovered? I think not. Christ saw their faith long, long, long ways down, blocks down the road. But what I want you to see there, because of the collective efforts of a couple of men, that man was helped. And unless there was the collective efforts, there's impossibility for this man to be helped. Can I tell you tonight, Greenland, 78 towns and villages comprising some 57,000 Eskimo natives, unless there's the collective efforts of God's people, 77 possibly towns will go unengaged with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will take the collective efforts of God's people to make it happen. Think about it. One man could have got up on the roof, pulled it. Possible. Two men, getting easier, isn't it? Three, getting even easier. The laborers are always few. There's always room for a few more on the roof. Always would have been. I don't know why they sat in the pew. I don't know why they stayed together what they did. I have no idea. It'll preach itself. Great Commission. Great in its role. Great and its responsibility. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, Lord, the sharp two-edged sword. God, I pray that Your will be accomplished in each and every heart that's here. Lord, You know the needs. Lord, we pray that You would do that which we cannot. And God, we pray that Your Word would truly find a lodging place in each and every heart. Lord, that we go away changed, challenged, stirred. God, to live our lives in obedience to You. God, submissive to You, following Your will, following Your command, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for the privilege to serve You. Have Your will and way, we pray in Jesus' name.